I'm Bill Castle, and this is Free Expression. This program is all about conveying the Christian message from a Catholic point of view and defending the liberty which makes it possible to do that. We talk with creative, interesting people bringing holy music to liturgy and organizing an important Marian event, along with a special report from Israel. Join us. Sit back and enjoy some free expression. Jonathan Feldstein represents the Israeli-based Genesis 123 Foundation. He and I had a nice conversation just a few weeks back, and since then, everything has really gone crazy in Israel. Jonathan, thanks for being with us again. Perhaps you could give us a little update on what's happening on the ground there.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. I'm glad to be with you all the time. Sorry about the current circumstances. This week, last week, it's all been a blur. Within the last 7 days, Israel began observing Passover. On the first day of Passover, we had dozens of rockets fired from Lebanon and from Gaza. We didn't know about it because, as Orthodox Jews, we were offline entirely and only found out about that after the fact. That, in and of itself, was gut-wrenching. It creates a lot of security concerns. We had the blessing of being together with our whole family, and we look at my son and son-in-law as kind of the litmus tests of how bad things might get if they get called back into the military reserves. For instance, 2 years ago when we had a situation with our neighbors in Gaza, my son-in-law was one of the first 5,000 reservists called up. So if he's called up, things we know are potentially looking bad. Thank God he wasn't. Nor was my son, who's in combat. And that continued with more rockets coming from Gaza, from Syria, which is also a little bit unusual, and from Lebanon, which is the largest number of rockets coming from Lebanon since the war that we had in Lebanon in 2006. And all of that was very tense. All of this is coinciding with the beginning of, we're in the middle of the Islamic holy month, Ramadan. Unfortunately, here, I can't speak about around the rest of the world, but here, Ramadan is often used as an excuse for incitement. And we've seen that on Temple Mount this past week. We've seen it specifically in their third most holy site, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is located on the Temple Mount, with them barricading themselves in and actually desecrating their own mosque, putting worshipers at risk. Don't know why yet, but we woke up on Friday morning. I was in Jerusalem having some meetings, and then my phone blew up all of a sudden with people sending text messages asking if we're okay. Didn't know what that was about until shortly afterward when I heard a family from the town where I live, Efrat, had been attacked in the Jordan Valley, a particularly horrific attack, which I'll tell you about if you want. And immediately, two of the girls were killed, a 15-year-old and a 20-year-old, not girls, young women. And the mother was airlifted to the Stage 1 hospital in Jerusalem, where she had been shot in the brainstem and in her spine. All of this was done at close range. It was not a drive-by terrorist shooting. It was an actual execution, with the terrorists coming up alongside the car that they had already attacked and firing 20 rounds into the women's bodies. The girls died immediately. This was on Friday. Then we went into Shabbat, in which, according to Jewish tradition, we do not have burials on Shabbat. So, and also the family are British immigrants. So they needed to identify the relatives, the relatives overseas. The funeral for the girls was planned and took place yesterday. Just to give your listeners a visual, if I can borrow that metaphor, the funeral home near our house has a stone slab on which the bodies are laid out before burial, not uncovered, they're covered, of course. But no one's ever had a situation of a simultaneous twin funeral. So another makeshift stand had to be erected for one of the sisters who who had been killed. This all took place yesterday afternoon. It was very, very recent. Tens of thousands of people between lining the streets in our town, between showing up at the funeral, between the prayer events that took place in the evening preceding. All of this has drawn out people from all over the country of all backgrounds. And unfortunately, today, my family was on an outing. We got news that the mother, Lucy, had died from her wounds. And the family, as we're speaking, only came home about 5 hours ago from the hospital. They donated her organs, Lucy's organs. She was a 48-year-old mother of five. Her organs were donated to save other people's lives. And now the family will be gathering tomorrow, also surrounded by probably 10,000 or more people for the funeral of their mother. Two funerals for three people in the course of a week. I can basically just sum it up locally, nationally. There's a great sense of tension here right now, a great sense of sadness. Any one terror attack, any one loss like this is it's as if the whole world has been destroyed, and certainly for the families. But I think the country is feeling this especially profoundly today.
Right. This is on top of the massive demonstrations that broke out just last week protesting Prime Minister Netanyahu's attempts to bring about judicial reforms. Do you think those two episodes are connected in any way? Are the terrorists taking advantage of that dissension?
It's a very good question, Bill. I don't think that there is a connection. I think the terrorists are taking advantage of Ramadan and manipulating their own theology. As a matter of fact, the Prime Minister addressed the country just within the last half hour, 45 minutes. He happened to mention that he and the Minister of Defense, who he had fired 2 weeks earlier for speaking out against the reforms that the government has been supporting, have now put all the differences behind them. He said, very specifically, he said, not on the side, but behind us, and the Minister of Defense will stay in his position because he's needed for his job. I don't think that an individual terror attack, as horrible as it is necessarily what's driving either the rockets, or, excuse me, the firing of a government minister, or differences is motivating the terrorists. I think that they are looking for an excuse to justify their existence, because they exist to destroy us. They exist not to live in peace with us, and therefore it goes counter to everything to try and make accommodations. And when Ramadan comes, and when there are instances on the Temple Mount, they use these instances, whether formally or informally, to fire rockets, make terror, and kill us.
Now, the Genesis 123 Foundation, your organization, exists to try and get the word out about Israel and secure good relations between Jews and Christians. What will you be doing in the midst of all of this, and how might people support your activities?
Thanks for asking. So first of all, we've set up a page, love.genesis123.co, where anyone is invited to send their prayers, their words of comfort. I don't think I mentioned, we're in the same town, but the D family are our neighbors. They live a six-minute walk from my house. The whole street is now adorned with blue and white Israeli flags and hand-painted signs, and will stay that way for a while. So we want to be able to share the love and support and comfort from friends and people of just good conscience all around the world. We've set that up. If anyone makes a donation there, we're waiting on details. It all just broke very recently, but we anticipate that we will be funding grief counseling for people in the area. If you think about it alone, when two of the sisters who spoke at the funeral of their sisters yesterday, there were 10,000 people at the funeral. I would say arguably 2,000 of them were young women in their teens and 20s to be there with the families. And now they need grief counseling. Their extended family has been ripped apart. So we're doing that. And we're getting the word out. We're trying to build bridges just by sharing reality. You know, I'd rather not be living down the road from a terror attack. I'd rather not be living in a country where we're at risk. But when these things happen, the responsibility is to depict them. So I've written a variety of articles. I think I just sent you my most recent one, which was drafted after the first funeral, but before we found out that the mother had been killed and then had to be rewritten. So we're trying to get the word out. We're trying to build bridges. We're trying to give people an understanding of what life is like here at this holy season, but at the same time, a very season that's wrought with tremendous grief.
Are there other opportunities, perhaps giving to the, well, it would be the Israeli equivalent of the Red Cross, I think it's called the Magen David Adom or something? Am I too far off in my pronunciation there?
Well, I mean, there are any number of organizations that do important and good work here. We've also, when I hosted last month our Run for Zion program, which is the first Christian program around the Jerusalem Marathon, one of the things that we do with the proceeds of that is we provide civilian security projects. In fact, my son-in-law, who I mentioned, is in the civilian rapid response team for our community. So we've been providing resources for them, security-related, first aid-related, specifically in communities like ours, which are or can be in areas that are on the periphery. Initially, after all the rockets, we saw. And, of course, if we have enough money, we'll also be doing something like helping orphans and at-risk youth who already come from homes that are not safe and don't make them feel comfortable. And we provide comfort and resources to empower them and help them succeed in life. There are a number of things that can be done. Honestly, the biggest one is to pray, not even to send your prayers and comfort to the family, but just to get down on your knees right now, people, and pray that Israel will be safe. And I was asked on a previous interview today if I'm hopeful. And honestly, I'm not. But I also know that we serve a God who can change hearts. And I do pray for that. I don't know why he doesn't do something now. I don't know why we're suffering the terror and threats that we do, especially now. But I know that God can change that. And I think this is something that can be done internationally, that we can beseech God. Enough is enough. Please stop. And that will be a good thing for everybody here, not just Israeli Jews, but Israeli Arabs and Palestinian Arabs and anyone else who lives in the region.
As it says in the Bible, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jonathan Feldstein, the Genesis 123 Foundation. We'll be talking again soon. In the meantime, keep your head down, stay alert, and protect your family. Be safe.
Thank you, Bill. God bless you.
The St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation is a Philadelphia-based group that promotes family life by strengthening marriages and helping families negotiate their way through conflicts and crisis situations. Ann DeSantis heads that organization, and she's here to tell us about a special event that's coming up. Ann, what do you have planned?
Thank you very much, Bill. This opportunity for your interview is very welcome here. I am the executive director for the St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation for Freedom, Family, and Faith at nonatus.org, and we are planning a Marian Summit, and that is an event that's happening on May 16th, 17th, and 18th of this year from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It is a virtual summit where over 20 Catholic authors and speakers will be joined together speaking about the Blessed Mother, catechesis, teaching stories, and really just an honoring of Our Lady during this special month of May. So we're extremely blessed and excited to spread the word about this event.
The Blessed Mother is certainly an icon of motherhood and family virtue. There's no question about that. But why particularly did you choose her as the focus of your event rather than, say, just a more general topic about family life?
Thank you for asking that question. This is a combined effort of three ministries. So the three ministries are the St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation, another nonprofit called Patchwork Heart Ministry, and then Fiat Ministry Network that does a lot of podcasting and TV work in the Catholic realm. And we came together in prayer deciding that this month of May is the perfect time to educate people, especially families in crisis, on the love of our Blessed Mother and how she can support those individuals and families who are really going through challenging times, which many families in today's culture, of course, they go through all kinds of trauma and adversity. So we wanted to do that in honor of Our Lady, as a teaching tool, but also really so that people can understand the love of Our Lady and how she is supporting families who are in crisis. And that really is the reason that we decided to come together for this 3-day event.
What kinds of people are we talking about who are going to be participating in this, and what kinds of topics will they be touching on?
Admittedly, we are somewhat still in the organizational phase as we are gathering our talks together from our speakers, and they're coming from all different parts of the country. Just to give you a few, and not sure whether your audience will know all of these names, but we have two Mercedarian priests that are joining us. That's the Mercedarian Religious Order, Father Kenneth Breen, and also Father Daniel Bowen. You can learn more about the Mercedarian Religious Order by going to orderofmercy.org. We also have another Catholic speaker, Kendra Von Esch, Allison Gingras, who is with CatholicMom.com. We have several authors. One is Caroline Godin with Catholic 365. And Dr. Mary Amore is the executive director of Maze Lake Ministries in the Chicago area, as well as Carlos Sarlozano, who specializes in theology of the Blessed Mother, and he will be giving a talk on her and on the beautiful ways that Mary can intercede for all of us in our lives. So they're just some of the speakers, but there's a total of over 20 that will be at this event.
Now, this being an online exercise, do people need any kind of special programming, or do they need Zoom software or anything like that?
It will be premiering on YouTube, and the best way to make sure that you can get registered for the event, and by the way, I should mention that it is free, is to go to our website, and there's a special page there. So you go to nonatus.org, and that's nonatus.org for St. Raymond Onatus. And on the front page of the website, there is a register here. And that's really all that's required, because you register, and then there will be updates sent via email and the link so that you will be able to watch those presentations as they premiere on the date.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the Nonatus Foundation. What do you guys do?
Our mission is to make pastoral outreach to families and individuals in crisis. When we started our mission back in 2015, we were founded by the Mercedarian Religious Order, as I mentioned earlier. We started out with ministry for Catholics who are affected by divorce and separation, whether they be couples or people who have already been annulled. Even the children or the adult children of divorce were people that we were doing ministry for. That has expanded, and our ministry now is a little bit larger than that. So we are covering all kinds of traumas, including people who are affected by the loss of a loved one, whether it be a spouse, a parent, or a child, job loss, you know, people who suffer from different anxiety, depression, other adversities. I mean, you name it, we pretty much have received phone calls and outreach from individuals who just need to get some help, some pastoral help. And what we supply are free pastoral consultations from our Mercedarian friars. And so when they make an appointment with us on our website, I will reach out and make that appointment so that they can have either an in-person or an online call with one of our priests. And that's one of our primary ways that we make that outreach. We also do programs, events, retreats. We've done quite a few retreats in the Philadelphia area. Everything that we offer basically is complimentary, because we are a Catholic nonprofit, 501c3. So we kind of survive on those donations by good people who care about our ministry.
And they can go to your website and get information about all of these services?
Oh, definitely. And on social media as well. They can connect with us at St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, as well as our website at nonatus.org.
And once again, what are the dates of the Marian Summit?
The dates of the Marian Summit are May 16th, 17th, and 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Ann DeSantis of the Raymond Nonatus Foundation, thanks a lot for telling us about this. This sounds like a very worthwhile thing. Many, many people might be interested in tuning in and hearing all of these presentations. It sounds great.
Bill, thank you so much.
Immaculate Mary.
The classic Immaculate Mary, Catholic vocalist and songwriter Anna Nuzzo, with a little choir accompaniment. I interviewed Anna a couple of years ago at the Catholic Marketing Network trade show. Part of our conversation focused on the importance and appropriateness of music in worship. Here's an excerpt from that discussion. I've been involved in music ministry as a volunteer song leader for more decades than I think I can remember, but I have been in the throes of all of the controversies about liturgical music, all of the disagreements about what is appropriate for Mass. I would love to know your experiences in treading these very turbid waters and bringing music to people who are sometimes in grave disagreement about what's appropriate for worship.
I enjoy many styles of music. So I love praise and worship. I love the traditional hymns. I like to mix it up because you cannot please everyone all the time. And the Mass is not about the music. The Mass is about the sacrifice that Jesus did for us and us being in one with Him. The music obviously enhances the Mass. And I think you really, if you're praying with your heart and you're really in tune with what's happening at the Mass and realizing that you're at Calvary, keeping the music reverent is important, but also there's times for joy. So it depends when you're doing what type of song.
Music touches people's hearts. Music enhances worship, certainly. Sometimes it breaks down walls of resistance to worship, don't you find?
Yes. That's a good point. Absolutely. I sing for funerals sometimes when I'm at home and not on the road. And it's actually become an act of mercy for me how the Holy Spirit is consoling the family through the music. He's using me as an instrument to console this family during this most devastating time. And many people have come up to me and said how thankful they were that I was able to sing and how much peace it brings them. So yes, music definitely is personal and touches people deeper than almost anything.
You can't always account for what kind of music will touch the people, though. It's been my observation that some people dismiss the contemporary folk-style music, if you will, as cheap and tacky and whatever, yet sometimes those songs are, they become very important to people. They become statements of people's faith. They capsulize important memories of moments that they've had.
Absolutely. Sometimes I'll just sing a song at Mass and someone will come up to me and crying and saying that that song was sung at their mother's funeral and it brought them right back and to a beautiful place, actually. So it brings back the memories, it brings back the love and brings them closer to God. I mean, I think the whole idea of enhancing the liturgy with music is to help people realize that this is otherworldly. This is heavenly. The angels, the saints, everyone is there in participation with the Mass with all of us to really be present and give glory and praise to our Lord.
Here's more from Anna Nuzzo.
Our Father, thank you.
us next time when we explore other aspects of religious communication and look deeper into the great Christian heritage of free expression. Free Expression with Bill Castle is a production of Good Shepherd Catholic Radio and Company Publications, where good books, good music, and good radio are always good company. Dan Curis provided technical assistance. Theme and incidental music are by Dan Adam. The program was produced and directed by Bill Castle. This is Good Shepherd Catholic Radio.